Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 17. We're going to look at a familiar passage in your Bible about these 10 lepers that met up with Jesus. But before we read the passage and before we pray, you know, when Pastor leaves, he assigns duties to Tony and I to preach and teach, and we don't take that lightly. I never do. And being held responsible to fill this pulpit is huge, huge. How'd you like it, Bane, when you stood up here Sunday night? It'll get you, won't it? You know, and then trying to get with the Lord and trying to find out I want to know what He wants me to say today. Because if you came here to hear me, you know, you're already messed up because you came here and you didn't expect to hear me. And then if you're going to hear me today, we may as well all go to lunch now and be early to Luby's and not have to stand in line. But if the Lord can show up and take His word and you can get something out of His word today that will help you praise the Lord. That's the intentions here. We've got a passage here that we're going to read in a second. And if you had to put a title to this message, I'd call it The Next Right Step. The Next Right Step. When folks come to Pastor or to I or to Tony or they've got problems. They've got financial problems, marriage problems, just problems with sin in their own life or problems with children. The thing that we try to do is try to go to the Lord and go to His Word and see what He has to say about things, and then we don't tell you what you should do. We tell you what the Lord says, and the best that we can encourage you to do is to take the next right step. Whenever you've got problems or I've got problems, every time, you can't see far enough down the line to get 1 through 10 of what you need to do, the 10-step process. But to start out and to get that first right step is really a good thing, because then you can start adding to it. And these 10 lepers show us some great, great right steps. And so we want to read this passage and see if there's something here that the Lord can help every one of us with. But first, let me pray. Father, I am very humbled and very unworthy to fill this pulpit, and you know more than anybody else. I'm praying today, Lord, that you'll move me out of the way. You know that me and you have got together, and we've talked a lot about this passage, and you've showed me some things, and I believe there's some things you expect me to say, and there's probably a lot of things you expect me not to say, and we want to keep them in the right order. And the things that you once said and preached out of this passage, Lord, is all I want to come out of my mouth, and I'm praying that you can take those words, fill this room with the Holy Spirit, and allow only Him to have the reign in here, and that we can all, including me, leave here better than we came in today. And we sure pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me read the passage in case you're not familiar with it. It's Luke chapter 17, verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. As he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face and at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise and go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole." That's the passage we want to look at today, and we're going to go through this thing and pick out, you're not going to learn today what to do with your rebellious kids. It's not going to be in detail. You're not going to learn how to help your marriage get better. You're not going to learn how to quit messing up your finances. You're not going to get details today, but you're going to get some great next steps that will help you. In this passage, the first thing the first point that we want to cover is the first next right step is just to truly admit who you are. These guys were, number one, they were lepers. It says in the first part, it came to pass as they went through Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers. In the Bible, we could go to Leviticus, we could go to lots of places and show you how leprosy is a typology or a type of sin. And when you see leprosy in the Bible, you can sometimes just plug the word sin in there and it works just right. And these 10 men were sinners. They were sinners. And the typology of leprosy is that, it starts out very, very small. You turn Leviticus 14, 13 in there and you start looking at the way they spotted leprosy and the priest would identify it. It was just a small rising or a scab or a bright spot. And so it starts out real small, and so does sin in all of our lives. It starts out small. And then the next stage, it's pretty advanced by the time you actually start to see it. And a leper, I don't know if you've looked at the best opportunity for any of y'all to see a leper here in Corpus Christi is to go to the missionary rack and look up Tommy Tillman, Harmer Evangelism, his letters. He's been working with the lepers for years and years and years and sends pictures of these lepers and their fingers and noses and ears just rot away and fall off. It's just raw flesh. But by the time sin or leprosy gets a little bit more advanced, you start to see it. You start to see it. And then biblically, And this is why it said here in verse 12, as he entered in a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Leprosy in the Bible, God made sure to separate the lepers from the crowd. They had to stay separate. They had to walk away from the rest, stay out of the camp. And when they saw somebody, they had to put the hand over the mouth and yell, unclean, unclean. They were a separation because of their leprosy. Well, what a typology. There's a separation with God because of our sin. It's the same thing. Isaiah says, but your iniquities have separated you and your God, and your sins had hid his face from you that he will not hear. So the other part of this typology is there's no cure for leprosy. There's no cure for leprosy. It takes a supernatural cure. And the same thing for your sin. There's no cure for the sin that we carry with us. But there's a supernatural cure for that sin. And many of you know it, and it's Jesus Christ. But one of the first steps, the first right next step, that some of us may have to back up and hit this step every once in a while. We've got to admit who we are. These men were sinners, and I can tell you by authority of this book, that we got a room full of them here. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. With the exception to the rule, please stand up so we can all see it. No, we're all sinners. And sometimes, a multitude of reasons, we tend to forget just who we are. Just who we are. These lepers were not only, sinners, but they were Samaritans. Over in verse 16, the one that came back fell down on his face, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. You know, a Samaritan in the Bible is a mixed race. They're not Jews. In Matthew chapter 10, the Lord gives an account here. He says, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles and into the city of the Samaritans. Enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. My friends, we were all born in the wrong family. We're not only sinners, we're Samaritans. When the Lord met up with the lady at the well in John chapter 4, she was a Samaritan. And he told her that salvation is of the Jews. So, we're sinners. We're Samaritans, just like these 10 guys. The other thing is, and this one is not good. Verse 18, he said, there is not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. You know what? These lepers were not only sinners, they were Samaritans, they were strangers to the Lord. Strangers to the Lord. Ephesians talks about us as that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Has anybody here ever been there? All hands go up at this point. Yes. Yeah, every one of you has at one point in your life been in a place where you were without God in this world. And you are a stranger to God. And there's verses in Matthew where the folks that come to the Lord at the end times, and he says, I never knew you. You're a stranger. But the thing about this truly admitting who we are, I know I'm not getting any smiles, I'm not getting any amens right now. And it's okay. If you can truly back up just a little bit, I know that you're a born again, most of you are born again, child of God, you're a child of the King, praise the God, but truly, your righteousness is not yours. Okay? Oh, I can wear the badge and I can say I'm righteous, and God, when he looks at me, he sees righteousness. I look at me in the mirror, I don't see righteousness, I see Randy. And every one of you are the same. The only reason that you have righteousness is it's been given to you by grace through faith, and it's not deserved in any point. So what I'm trying to do, I'm not beating on you. I'm trying to turn the mirror around and let you see that sometimes we don't truly admit who we are. These guys had no problem. They're identified here in the Bible. But look at this. It says here, in verse 12, as they entered into a certain village, there met him. There met him. You know what? It's going to happen. Sinners who are strangers to God, who are lost and without God in this world, are going to meet up with Jesus Christ. It is going. Many of y'all have. And when you met up with him, you made a right step at that point. You decided to truly trust in him. The Bible says, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. There's no exceptions to that. There's all the atheists that you see on TV, all the people that write the idiotic books and all that, their knees are going to bow, and their mouths are going to confess to Jesus Christ. They are going to meet up with Jesus Christ. The Bible says it's appointed men once to die, and after this, the judgment. We're all going to stand before him one day. When we get on these ships and we get to actually, it's a blessing. I bring that up because it's truly a blessing to be able to do that. I know that 99.9% of y'all don't get to go talk to this Tuesday, go talk to the 200 people about the Lord. I do. What a blessing it is. But to talk to somebody about the Lord and to give them, well, it's the old saying, you know, you can't get somebody saved until you can get them lost. If somebody doesn't think they're lost, they're not about to be looking for a way to get saved. And so we have to convince or show them in the Bible what God says, because they don't really care what I say about them. But show them what God says about their condition, who they truly are. Who they truly are. So, you know, no better time than this, but if there is a person within this building or within my voice, and you have not come to a point in your life where you finally figured out who you are and admitted it, now's the day. Now's the time to finally admit that, and there's a cure for that. It's a supernatural cure, but there is a cure. So we've got these 10 lepers, and they're all sinners, they're all Samaritans, they're all strangers, and they meet up with God. You know, I've got and I have had over the last, I don't know how many years, the privilege of raising one Rottweiler at a time. And I'm on my third one, and I got him back in July. So that makes him, what, 7-8 months old. I have had the one I had previous, Roman. He is the best dog that ever walked the face of the earth, without a doubt. He was very obedient. He was very submissive. He was very easy to teach. He was very protective. He was just a good dog. Ryan didn't like him very much, but that's a whole other story. He didn't like Ryan. But after Roman died, we prayed and we said, Lord, you know, if we're going to get another Rottweiler, we need you to show us that, because it's like, you know, like having kids. You got another, you know, commitment, you know. And so we pray and we figure out that, and then we tell the Lord, okay, now it's the same breeder, and we want a male. And so we just said, Lord, we're going to, and since the breeder is in Michigan, I don't get to go take the pick of the litter. My breeder picks. Boy, there's you some trust, huh? And so we had that issue, thinking, well, I hope she picks and actually gives me the pick of the litter, male. Well, the litter comes along, and guess how many males were born? One. So we're jumping up and down because the Lord has just made sure we're getting the dog that he wants us to have. This dog is not like anything I've ever seen before in my life. I know how self-willed, I know how smart that my previous dogs were, and this one is a piece of work. He, at his earliest age, he is rebellious. He's bad. He's at 8 months, and my other dogs at 8 months were doing all kinds of other things and were no problem, not even an issue. And this one is a full-time job. A full-time job. Between Maury and I, I'm surprised he hadn't broke up the marriage. I mean, it's like wicked. Okay? You get in the picture. You know, this dog doesn't do anything you say, and then the first time he actually does it, he just did it to trick you. So there we are with it. And you know, this dog depends on me to feed him. He is so excitable and reckless that if we got anywhere near a street, if he's not on a prong collar, he could actually jump out and get run over. Okay? So he has a lot of dependence on me that he doesn't acknowledge. Or maybe doesn't appreciate. So I get to thinking about that, and then I'm putting this thing together, and the Lord says, well, there's a phrase that I've used about that dog, and there's a phrase I've used about other people in my life. There's a phrase I've used about some employees that I've had. And yes, I can say it at church. The phrase is, who does he think he is? Has any of y'all ever said that about somebody that is in your life, and they're causing havoc, and you're looking at them going, who do they think they are? All right, well, I look at this dog, and I go, you know what? This dog would starve to death if it wasn't for me. Who does he think he is? You know, this dog would run out in the street and get run over if it wasn't for me. Who does he think he is? And about that time, the Lord put his finger on me. And he said, who do you think you are? And it made me think. You know, every once in a while, a good next right step is just to take a step back and truly admit who you are. Because, I can see in my life where I have done things and continue to do things where the Lord is standing up there going, who does he think he is? If it wasn't for me... And then fill in the blank. And every one of us fits that. And so, truly, these lepers in this story, they had no problem with who they were. They knew who they were. They lived the way they were. There wasn't a Pharisee in this group of lepers. They were lepers. And truly, if you don't get another point out of this lesson today, we'll all just take one moment today, sometime, and just remember who we truly are. That'd be a great next right step. A great next right step. Look in verse 13. They not only truly acknowledged who they were, the next step, the next good, right step is to truly acknowledge who he is. Truly acknowledge who he is. Verse 13, and they lifted up their voices and said, look at this. Now these are lepers. These are Samaritans. They lifted up their voices and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Jesus. You know, every once in a while, the more I can do this, I see the better, is truly acknowledging who he's Jesus. He's Christ. He's God Almighty. He's my Savior. I'm not going to say you need to. I'm talking about me because God dealt with me in all of this. I don't spend enough time acknowledging who he is. I spend a lot of time talking about me to him. I spend a lot of time talking about what he needs to do for me. I spend a lot of time, but I don't spend near enough time talking about, and the point is, in this passage, these men that knew not the Lord, acknowledging for who he was, and you know what? They got healed. And I, who am supposed to know the Lord, I acknowledge it every once in a while, but they acknowledged him as Jesus. And look at the next thing. They had acknowledged him as Master. You know, one thing I used to see I guess it was in Freer. There was a church or something there and they had a sign up for a couple of months as I'd go back and forth to Laredo, and the sign said, let Jesus be the Lord of your life. Let Jesus be the Lord of your life? Whether you let him or not, guess who the Lord of your life is? Jesus. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the King of Kings. You know, whether we decide that Jesus is going to be the Lord of our life, guess who's controlling our life? The Lord is. Hey, you know, so it's way easier to go ahead and join the team. These lepers, they knew that this was not only Jesus, they knew he was their Master. But here's the key to this. Look at this. It says, they said, have mercy on us. Just by that, when you get to a point, whether it's today, tomorrow, next week, or maybe you've done it in the past, when you get to the point where you go to the Lord Jesus, your Master, and you ask for mercy, you've just acknowledged who he is. By your actions, you acknowledge that he is your Savior. You've acknowledged that he is your Master when you come to him for mercy. When we pray to God, that's what we're doing. We're acknowledging who he is. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace in a time of need. You know, I can think of offhand a couple of times in my life where I have prayed for mercy from the Lord. And at those times, I really, really needed it because I had backed myself into a mousetrap. I mean, the claws were coming down. And that was the point that I asked the Lord for mercy. I really believe that we need to be doing that a lot more often. Because when you ask the God for mercy, you're not only acknowledging who he is, you're acknowledging who you are. I spent most of my life thinking God takes care of the big stuff and I take care of the little stuff. That's why he gave me a brain. He didn't give me that good of a brain. Okay? He takes care of all the stuff and I just need to get in line with him. So truly, you know, I want to show you this. You see, it says in verse 13, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. This is a bunch of sinning Samaritans, strangers to God. And look at this, in verse 14. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And it came to pass as they went, they were healed. They immediately got mercy. They asked. There's not, you know, four more chapters or three more verses. They asked and they got mercy. That's how he does us. You see, verse 13 starts out, it says, and they lifted up their voices. I put that last in this little sequence because of this. It's amazing that these Samaritan, sinning, stranger, lepers came and they acknowledged who they were truly. They came to the Lord Jesus Christ as Jesus and Master and have mercy on me. They acknowledged who he was. But you know what? They lifted up their voices. You know what? They said it publicly. You know what? They lifted up their voices and said it publicly before they ever received anything from the Lord Jesus Christ. I find myself not saying enough when he does stuff for me. I can't remember, and I don't want to go there, but how often I say nothing until he does do something. You're getting the picture here? You got some guys here that just, they were just taking the right steps all along the way, and they didn't even know, but they were actually lifting up their voices and calling the Lord Jesus and Master and having mercy on me before they'd ever received any kind of healing or gift or anything from the Lord. They didn't know where the Lord was just going to keep on walking by like everybody else does. They were willing to lift their voices up to the Lord. You know, I absolutely, truly love my wife. I'd make her stand up, but she wouldn't appreciate that. I really believe that she loves me. I really believe that she prays for me, that she cares about me. I'm on day 64 of a rash that is just straight out of the depths of hell. And she has been the one that has withstood me and helped me through all of that. I say all this to say this. I really believe, as embarrassed as she gets, she does appreciate the fact that I don't have a problem saying that out loud. And I don't have a problem saying it out loud. What do you think God thinks if you don't have a problem talking about him out loud? Do you think that pleases the Lord? Oh, I know it's got to please him. It's got to please him when we take the out, and not because you have to, but because you want to. You want to tell somebody what the Lord has done for you. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. You don't have to have memorized 50 verses. You don't have to have a pocket full of Chick tracks. You can just open your mouth and praise the Lord and acknowledge truly who he is. You don't have to do this at public. I'm not inviting all of y'all to go to the restaurant now and give a public testimony to your waitress. But what's wrong with saying it at home to your kids? What's wrong with every once in a while just opening your mouth at work whether they like it or not? You see, I believe these guys were taking the next right step, and I believe they opened their mouth, they raised their voice, and they called him Jesus, and they called him Master. And in this world that we live in, we don't see a whole lot of that. We don't see a whole lot of that. Are y'all having fun yet? Next right step. You know, talking about those tracks comes to mind. You know, I've lived long enough. I've seen Sam Gipp stand in the pulpit and tell me I'll read 10 chapters a day and I'll pass out. I don't know how many tracks does he have. You pass out a day? Yeah, I don't know. But I've had other people get up here and say, you know, three a day. Put three a day in your pocket. You go out and pass out three a day. By the end of the year, you've passed out 1,000 tracks. Simple math. And then you put your Monday morning, you put three in your pocket, and you go home, and there's two. So Tuesday, now you got five. And I can do the math, and by Wednesday, you done gave up. Okay? Has anybody done this? You won't raise your hand, will you? Okay? You can get discouraged. It's easy. How about this one? Why don't once a week? Well, that's not hard. Once a week, and not at church. Ooh. Why don't you open your mouth for Jesus Christ somewhere? Amen. Just open your mouth, something that you can look at the Lord on judgment day, at the judgment seat of Christ, and say, on that day, I opened my mouth and said something good, or something that I love you, or that you are my Savior, or you are my Master. You said something. How about just once a week? How about once a week? Anybody want to take that one on? Don't raise your hands. I'm going to try to take that one on. I really am. Let's look at the next one. It says here, so far, you're following along, taking notes maybe. Truly admit who you are. It's a great, great next step. Truly acknowledge who he is. Two great. If you get those two steps, man, you're in. Here's another one. Verse 14, I believe. Verse 14 will work. And when they saw him, they said to him, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. You know, he told them, just he sees them, he hadn't said a word to them. They're the ones doing all the talking. And he says, go show yourselves to the priest. Well, if you've got a reference in your Bible, it's going to take you back to Leviticus, because if you're a leper and you need to be pronounced clean, you go to the priest. And he has to look at you, and he has to put you away for so long and all. He has to go through this whole deal to pronounce you clean. Okay? Well, wasn't that strange for them? They run into the Lord, and all of a sudden he says, go show yourself a priest. That couldn't have made a bit of sense to these 10 guys. These guys are walking around, you know, and they've yelled and raised their voice over there to the Lord and have mercy on me. And he says, go show yourself to the priest. It couldn't have made quite all the sense that it should have to them. But you know what they did? They did. They went that way. It says, and it came to pass that as they went, where do you think they were headed? They were going to show themselves to the priest. And that's when they were cleansed. The third point is it's very deep, very profound. We need to trust and obey what the Lord says. Trust, isn't that profound? Aren't you glad you came today? Trust and obey what the Lord says. You know, your Christian life, my Christian life, we are, Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. What's the next thing? Lean not unto thine own understanding. Big problem. Big problem. Because we've always got, every time I'm going to say me, because none of y'all will admit to doing anything wrong, so I'll be the guy, okay? I'm doing something in my life. I read Bible. I hear a sermon. I hear something. And it just doesn't, it's kind of like contrary to what I'm doing. Okay? Well, my understanding says I've got these special conditions and they don't know and I can do this because, and they don't understand and yeah. Okay? That's leaning on my understanding. These guys, if they would have leaned on their own understanding, they never have went to the priest. Okay? And they never would have been healed. You see, if you're going to call him Jesus and you're going to call him Master, then you better trust and obey what he says. Or you're not, you don't mean it. You don't mean it. Why do you call me Lord, Lord? It's amazing. Here's about the most profound thing I got to say. I put it right in the middle so that y'all could, start counting it down. The next right step is always in the right direction. The next right step is always in the right direction. You know, we are Bible believers. Every one of you have the truth of God sitting in your lap. Every one of you, I presume, has read it and continues to read it, and you trust it, and you believe it's the Word of God. And so, in this room, there is an excess, in comparison to Corpus Christi, there is an excess or an abundance of Bible knowledge in this room. A person can't really get in this pulpit and pull too much tomfoolery, because you know your Bible. You know what God says. You know what God says about finances. We just did a lesson on it in my college and career class. You know what God says about family order and marriage. You know what God says about how you present yourself during the day at school or as an employer or as an employee. You know those things, right? There comes a time that you get yourself, and I've done it. Get myself into a place where I got a problem. Things are not going the way I would like them to go. And it may be because I'm a leper. That's a big problem. Sin. It may be because I've made some wrong decisions. Foolishness, maybe. It may be because I'm not trusting and obeying and doing things the way God wants them done. Okay? Now, I know I'm probably the only one in the room that does that. But bear with me. I have found this to work. When I find out that I am doing something contrary to the Word of God, I repent. Oh, that's a hard, dirty word. I repent. Repent means to stop and turn and head in the other direction. It's a good word. It's a real good word. You know, you're headed along in life and you run into a roadblock. You run into a bad place. You run into disappointment. You run into discouragement. You know what? There's something there in that Bible to tell you that there may be something that needs to change in your life. Not always. You know, time and chance happen to us all. But many times there's things where I need to stop doing it. Or there's things where I need to start doing it. The trust and obey part of this point of the next step is I don't always know, like I said, all these 10 steps that I'm supposed to take to get out of this problem and get back in the will of God and make things all work. But I can guarantee you that the first right step is to repent. Stop doing what you know is not right. You're having trouble with your marriage, and the man in the house is not the head of the house, like the Bible says. I'd check into that. You're having a problem with finances, and you really, you know, we skip over that part about the borrower servant to the lender. We that doesn't always work. Prosperity comes from using other people's money, and I'm going to borrow money. I'd look into that because there comes a time, hopefully, every time I've got there in my life where I finally got there and decided my own understanding is stupid and God is always right, boy, if I could just stay there, that would be really good. But the flesh in me doesn't like to stay there. But these guys, they got there. The Lord said, go show yourself the priest immediately. If you read the passage, the Lord is heading to Jerusalem down through Samaria and Galilee. He's headed south. He met 10 lepers. It's hard to meet 10 lepers if you're going the same direction. I could just assume maybe they're heading another direction. And when he said, go show yourself to the priest, I just have to think the priests are in Jerusalem. I'm like Trump. I think that's the capital. So I imagine they had to stop where they were going and head another direction. And you know what? That's when they got healed. When they went. Look at the passage again. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Soon as you make the decision to stop and start heading in the other direction, God's there. He's all over it. Maybe the next right step is just to stop and repent. You don't have to know all the steps. Pastor calls for people to come down to this altar all the time. There's not anything like ooey gooey special about this. It's made out of 2x6s and 2x8s and some carpet and some nails, some glue. But it's actually more like the Bible, more symbolic. It's a place where that you can get up out of that seat and you can come here. And you know, as soon as you stood up, you know what you did? You started that process. And instead of turning and heading out the door and heading to be the first one at the restaurant, you actually turned and headed this way. You may not know where you're supposed to be going. You may not know the next 10 steps, but you're taking the first right step. And that's when these folks started getting healed. And I believe that's in our life. That's when it starts happening. When we just make that first right step to try to get something changed. Try to get something changed. Y'all having fun? Let's look at another one. Verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. You know, your Christian life, my Christian life, we are never stagnant. It would be so good to attain a certain level of fellowship with God and righteousness and holiness, and then you just get to stay there. But it doesn't work like that. You are always either backsliding or growing. While you're sleeping, I'm not sure what's happening. But the second you wake up, you're either backsliding or you're growing. We're always moving. We're always doing something. And we can't always see the changes that God has made in our lives. I know that because folks come in and they go, da-da-da-da-da, and I go, you can't see that you got saved 2 years ago and now you're doing this and you're doing this? You have to, like, point the stuff out for them. And I can stand here and look at this crowd and I can see, look around the room and I can see and tell you stories and tell you the truth of how God has worked in so many lives in this building. From sickness to just growing in Christ more, to start raising a family. You can see how God has made these changes, how He's done this healing. But you can't see it as clearly as somebody from the outside. This guy that got cleansed, he actually, as he was walking off, he figured out, God did something for me. And you know what he did? He turned around, and with a loud voice, out loud, he glorified God. You know, before I was trying to convince you to do a little of that glorifying God and calling out His name before the blessing, it's completely expected after the blessing. If you think God enjoys this stuff before anything's handed out, what do you think He feels like after He's done the deal? It's something that we all we ought to just make it our priority out loud to publicly thank, bless, praise the Lord. In verse 16, look what he does. He fell down on his face. My friends, that's humility. That's humility. It says, had his feet, that is reverence. It's again, all these are tied together. It's kind of acknowledging who he is and who you are. And it says, giving him thanks. Too often, we hammer it a lot, but it's true. We run to the Lord. He answers our prayers. If we get a chance to say, hey, thanks, fine. We give him another list and we go on and we need to stop. This fourth point is take inventory and give God the glory. And I think everyone here ought to at least take a couple of minutes sometime today and just take inventory of what God's done for you and give Him some glory with that. That may be a good next right step. And then, verse 19, the passage says, and He said unto him, arise and go thy way. Look at this, thy faith has made thee whole. Those 10 lepers were walking along, and just by trusting and obeying and making all these right steps, they got healed. Okay? One of them was made whole. He got his nose, his finger, he got it all back. He was made whole. But look what he said. Thy faith has made thee whole. Not thy obedience. Not thy trusting in, not thy, the out loud giving God the glory. not calling me Jesus or Master. He said, thy faith has made thee whole. Thy faith has made thee whole. The Bible says this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You know, many times I've heard this passage preached, and I was going to try to get through the whole part of it without, you know, nailing it about 10 were cleansed and where are the 9? Okay? But I just want to mention that because it's clear that like 1 out of 10 actually was made whole, actually completed the process, actually did the whole deal. Don't you want to be one of those 10? You know how he did it? By faith. Every one of these right steps that I've talked to you about is done by faith. There's nothing here that's excessively hard to do. We've got admit who you are. Now, by faith, you got to believe the Bible. That's going to tell you who you are. Now, if you don't want to believe the Bible, then you can believe you're whoever you want to be. But if you believe the Bible, it's going to show you a clear vision of who you are. And you can truly admit who you are. You know, that second point, acknowledge who he is. That's by faith. I have never seen Jesus Christ. I've never seen God. But with every part of every bit of me, I believe it to be true. I believe everything in this book is to be true. I believe it's the truth. I'm banking everything I got on it, and I would beg you to bank the same. All that's done by faith. All that's done by faith. Trust and obey. That's done by faith. You know, after you're a seasoned saint and you've done it for a little while, it gets a little bit easier because you know what? You've seen it happen. Telling the young couple how to raise their kids, they look at you like you're an idiot. They do. But I've seen it happen. And so I got a little bit of experience on the trust and obey part. And yet there's still many things in my life I fall short on that. That's a great, great next step, but it's done by faith. And this take inventory and give glory to God. Oh man, that's something that we always, I fall short of it. We all need to get better at it. It's a great next step. So where are we at today? We got a story here where 10 lepers came to the Lord, called him who he was. They admitted who they were. They acknowledged who he were just as truthfully as they could be. They asked for mercy. They got it. They trusted when he said, go show yourself the priest, that there wasn't a change in their body. But they headed that way and they got cleansed. They trusted in what he told them. Man. If you're in here today and you are not saved, now that's something that only you and God and the devil know. But my prayer is that the Holy Spirit is telling you, you know, there's stuff he's talking about that you ain't got. I'm going to stand right over here after this service because I'm normally the Randy in the back. Okay? But I'm going to stand over here after service. And if you have not ever truly admitted who you are, and truly acknowledge who he is, that's salvation, my friend. If you haven't got there, I would be glad to show you real quickly what the Bible says about being saved. But I believe we got a room that's got a lot more saved, born again, children of God, Christians sitting here. And I know in this room, as many Christians that are sitting here, we've got as many problems. Everybody's got some. Nobody wants each other's. I don't want yours. And you don't want mine. But the Lord is here to help us just like those lepers. He's here to help us. And here's the secret. You just need to take the next right step. You just need to take the next right step. I don't know what that step is for you. That step may be I need to step back and acknowledge who I am. That step may need to be, I need to, you know what I need to do? I not only need to believe, I need to open my mouth a little bit more for the Lord. I need to acknowledge who he is. Maybe I got a real problem here lately on a few things on this trust and obeying thing. I'd rather do it my way. Lean to my own understanding. I don't know what everything is. But I do know this. There's enough next right steps in this passage to help you get where you need to be. And we've got a Savior that can easily get you there. And so I pray that that's what you'll get out of this today. Father, I thank you for the truth in this book. And I thank you for opening the scriptures up. Father, I don't know the condition of every soul in here. I don't know the problems. I know some of the problems and the things because we pray for a lot of each other in here. And I know some of those things, Lord. But I don't know everything, but you do. And I pray right now that you'll impress upon the folks here that all they got to do is take the next right step. The same Jesus and Master that's in Luke chapter 17 is the one that's in this room right now. And willing to help anyone in here, Lord, if we'll just, ask for that mercy. I pray that you'd help each one of us, Lord. And I pray there wouldn't be one leave here today that's not saved, walk out of that door. Oh, I pray they wouldn't, Lord. I pray they'd come see me after the service. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.